Ready to sing it together as we stand?
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no call, no worry of affair. He who's all the kind beyond all measure, gave unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, his path is pain and pleasure, mingled toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is there me, with a special mercy for each other. All my cares, he favored his chair me, he whose name is Counselor and Foe. The protection of his treasure, be the trust that on himself he lays. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he is made. Help me then in every tribulation, true to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith in isolation. Offer me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet in, to take as from my Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Amen. That's Pastor Prentice then. Pastor Rice, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to come to your house tonight.
Amen.
To worship you, and thank you for the good day that you provided thus far, the good time of worship this morning.
Amen.
With you people, thank you for the visitors that came. We pray you'd help them to come back again soon, and we pray you'd be with Regina today. You'd bless her and her new baptism. Lord, we thank you for her step of faith, and we pray you'd be with the service tonight. You'd speak to our hearts through your word, and that you'd encourage us, and that lift us up, that we can go this week refreshed and recharged in your word, so we'll serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and let us continue good singing as we turn back to our hymn books to page 667. 667. Catch up with you on 667.
What's the number, please?
667. All right, we sing the first and last verses, and then we pause for the announcements.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest. And the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf.
Number three.
Foot with weeping, sowing for the master, so the thirst, so the spirit will grieve. When our weeping over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoice, sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Amen. Just as you may not realize, we are singing hymns that point towards the blessings that come on the day when we will be given our talents from God for the blessings for faithfulness. Be positive for the announcements at this time. Pastor Rice.
Amen. We want to direct your attention to our bulletin. If anyone need a bulletin, we'll be happy to get one to you. It's good to be together tonight in God's house, and it is a blessing to see you, each one of you here. It's good to have Darielle with us tonight. Welcome, Darielle. And he was here on Wednesday. We're glad that he is back from the summer. And it's good to have some others from Penny Point this morning. We had one of Darielle's neighbors around the block. We had Jose and JJ and Elsie. And they are all wanting to learn about God, so it was a blessing to have them well-behaved children this morning. And pray for the family, that we can get the family in the door as well. I think they're going to be coming at some point here soon. So pray for the parents, Jose, and I don't know what the mom's name is, but they are going to be moving from Penny Point to the border of Northfield and Pleasantville. And then it was good to have Bridget as well and some others. One of the gentlemen that was sitting in the back this morning, 17-year-old teenager, and he is wanting to go soul winning. So that was a great blessing to have him just come. He found us on the website, and he said, I've been looking for an independent, fundamental Baptist church, and you said that on your website, so that's why I came. So it's a blessing to be able to, as we reach out, we seem like Holly and I, as we went to 30-some doors in Northfield, that we struck out. But obviously we didn't strike out in God's book, because His economy is much bigger than just 35 doors. And so our job is just to be faithful to the ones that we are near, because that's all we can do. We can only control the ones that God puts in our path. And if we're faithful to the ones that God puts in our path, then He brings in others. He sends them in. So that's a neat principle from the Word of God. So pray we can get some of these to come to our church. Just by way of announcements, good to have Jim with us tonight. Welcome, Jim. And it was good to have his grandkids with us this past Wednesday. Travis and Blake, is it? Blake? Travis and Blake. Good to have them with us. Just by way of announcements, we want to mention... pray for John and Penny Hungerbueller as they're looking for a house to stay in. And then this Friday is the Teen Jamboree, so pray for safety as we go up and back on Friday after school to Saturday late. We'll probably get in early evening, so pray for us for safety all around, going back and forth to Quakertown area and back. So far we have 7 signed up, so pray for those 7. Then we are collecting a care package for Brother Ethan and Brother Matthias, and so let's keep our eyes peeled as we go grocery shopping for anything that would be good to receive if you were a college student, what you would like away from home and all of those things. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Any other announcements? Okay, and then we have the music conference with Calvary Baptist Church on the insert page. We had a great time last year at that music conference. I'd encourage you, go this year. It's on a Saturday, October 13th. It's not all day. It's only half a day. We'll be back to the church by 4:30. We'll leave at 8, so it's only an 8-hour shift. And a great time together as we sit and learn more about music. And then have a great lunch. They serve a great lunch. They serve some breakfast items as well. And just encourage you to go with one of our sister churches and rekindle friendships there as well. So, all right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Yes, Carol.
Just the ladies' Bible study. I'm sure you've been mentioning it, but for those of us that are here, I would ask you, I know Maria and I are excited about it restarting and excited about some ladies that have come occasionally but now seem interested in coming more than occasionally. So, and Karen has said that she would be willing to drive to pick people up because I know Effie wants to come very much. She's never come before. And so there's a few totally new ones. So we, the four, need to do our work in encouraging others to come.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Pray for those Bible studies coming up. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings. Yes, that is the first Saturday in October, okay. October 6th, Saturday. And I was able to listen to the messages that Pastor Logan preached the week I was gone, and they were excellent messages both morning and evening. Really appreciated those messages. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, we do thank you for the time we've given. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the evening service. We thank you for the rain.
Amen.
We know it's good for the grass and all those living things.
Yes.
We just thank you for being here tonight. Bless those that are here. Bless those that will be here if they could. There's become such circumstances for us beyond our control that cannot be here. We just thank you for them anyway. Continue to bless, lead, direct. Pray for Pastor Rice's wife, and especially my Lord. Bless for his daughter, Lord, to continue to be really faithful. Continue to bless
us.
In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people say.
Back to a hymn book, but then we will have an opening for testimonies and to share your blessings on God from God's throughout the past week or even tonight. We will continue singing one song now, first and last verses of 688. Oh, that will be glory for me. This is reference to when we are up in heaven, praising the Lord and having our new bodies. And sitting in God's presence. 688 in the same book we used before. First and last verses.
When all my labor and trials are over, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near there, dear Lord, I adore, will be ages may glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me.
Number three.
Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory, His glory for me.
Amen. It's going to be a wonderful time to be in God's presence and to receive all the rewards He will give us for faithfulness. So it pays to be faithful, serving the Lord, and to receive the glory and the blessing from God that He has well done. Now we are open for testimonies. Who would like to be first to share their testimony, their blessings from throughout this day or throughout the past week? who would like to be first? You should have a first one someplace. Are you looking for hands? Go ahead, Maria.
Yes, in the past, Ms. Ford didn't hear I asked you for a prayer, or help me pray for the guy's name is Dustin. Dustin is my teacher, my professor of music, son. And he was in drug and drinking, and a lot of his problems. And I told, he gave me his name, and we can pray for us, for help us. And when I come back now, I went back to the music, and he's recovering everything. He's been out for a clean for over a year. And he also married. So now he's in family again, normal life, you know?
That's right.
This is all prayer because I asked him here, does he remember about some Jeremy? So he's okay, he's great. And the father, all of him is happy about it. So thank you for the
prayers. All right, it just shows that when we pray, God gives answers to our prayers.
Absolutely.
It pays to pray unto the Lord and ask Him for His guidance. He does wonderful things beyond our minds can control. Pastor, you put your hand up at one point?
Yes, it's good to have Chris back with us tonight.
Welcome, Chris.
I know you've been busy lately, so it's good to see you back in God's house. And also, I went to see Penny Hungerbueller at Our Lady's residence this past Friday, and we had a nice time together, and she says to everyone, thank you for praying, and she's looking forward to coming into the church. So, you know, keep Penny in prayer, and also keep them in prayer about a house to live in.
Okay.
Apartment to rent or a house to rent.
All right, someone else with a blessing. Anyone or other people with blessings? You can share with us tonight. And tell us some other things that happened. Go right ahead, stand up and tell us about it. Can you stand so we can see you and hear you? Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I put 50 cents in the offering plate, and yesterday, my aunt, she said to go around the back to get something, and I did, and she gave me $1. I got
20 cents. Praise the Lord. It just shows God always pays more than you can give to Him.
Amen.
Just the pastor referred to many times in the offering before it is taken. Someone else? Go ahead and see more hands for a blessing. Go ahead, Carol.
I'm thankful that we were able to get Roy to a doctor quickly this week when he showed signs of getting a cold. The doctor gave him 3 different medications to take, and he is not feeling well from the cold. However, his lungs were clear.
Okay.
And so it's had not started to go into pneumonia or anything serious. So I do praise the Lord for that. And as I mentioned to some of the choir members, I praise the Lord for the little service that we have at our house today. Elsie and Pastor Logan were over at the house. Pastor Logan played the piano, and I'm sure that Roy was greatly revived and thankful for their presence.
Amen.
All of us rejoicing in the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good. How the joy when God's people get together and sing praises unto His holy name.
Yeah.
Let's sing another chorus, and then we come back for more testimony. Think about what you want to say and to express your blessings from God. And let's go to our chorus books, to 102. Sing just one verse on the chorus. Then we open for more testimonies, showing your blessings and God's goodness that He shows every single day. At times we forget to say thank you, Lord, for His blessings. Just watching the rain fall today, and I guess many people were upset because the rain came down, but no one else can cause the rain to fall but God. So He is the one who sent it. I say thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Show us the blessings. Have it, Tricia. Let's sing it together. In the dark of the midnight, have I opened my face, while the storm hails wild and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, heard me cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes. Let's sing the last verse too. When the night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, oh, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen. Someone else with a testimony tonight. A blessing that something God has done for you today or throughout the past week. Someone else? Our time's gone by quickly. We have just about 2 or 3 minutes left. Anyone else with a blessing, testimony, something God did for you? You have a song. Tell us the name of the page. 720 in the blue book. 720 in the blue book. How if we stand together while we sing this hymn, and then we can turn over the service to Pastor Wrights, if no one else have a testimony? Jesus loves even me. Sing the first verse and the chorus, and then we turn over to Pastor Wrights, unless someone else have a testimony. 720.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tell of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Number 3.
Oh, if there only one song I can sing, when in its beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me,
even me. Amen. Good singing. You may be seated. Anyone with a testimony? If not, then turn it over to Pastor Rice. Anyone else? Going once, going twice, three times. Pastor Rice, you are next.
I have a testimony for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I was so elated about being with you. I told the other pastor that this afternoon, and you know, I think of it, man. You're the man that used to run up to here with 120 pounds of back on his back after the army choir that you had on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I am 16 years, and his army. There he is now, you know, clearly I'm not able to do those things. But I saw the smile that came across his face and the tongue swayed. And I think that we do not give our veterans the due honor that they should have. They've done a great job.
Mm.
As they're growing old, I think I read that 200 veterans die every day in our country. mentioned they're leaving us real quick. So that's all of this, man. We can see him, like, not only him. When you walk into a store, maybe a grocery store, or maybe you're out shopping in the mall or somewhere, and you see a guy at the bench, and you usually can tell when they have something on them. Just walk up to him and shake their hand and say, thank you, sir, or thank you, ma'am, for protecting our country. Because we're here today, we're able to meet tonight, because men and women put their lives on the line in order to protect our country, because of the freedom that we have today. And I think we don't honor that enough. So praise God for Brother Roy and others like him.
Amen.
My dad was a veteran of World War II, and he's gone on a beautiful one man. He was also a leader in the church. And we just thank God for those men and women that stood in our stand today. So if you see a man, thank him. You don't have to know. Just say, man, thank you. Sister, thank you for being a veteran.
Amen. It's good advice that World War II vets are... they're not much longer with us, being as they're in their 90s now, and so we need to thank them and pray for them. And so every time Mr. Gibson's here, take time to talk to him. I'm sure he'd love to tell you some of his stories or tell you how he's doing, so take time to share with him, especially young people. You can learn a lot from the veterans. They have a lot to share, and especially Christian veterans. So that's why I started over at the VA clinic last year, because these men and women have given so much for us. It's time that we give back for them, and especially give back the gospel. And so keep praying. There's some that have promised to come to church, so we're going to see some trickling in of veterans. And we already have Nancy and Eddie. They saw us 3 years ago. They saw the bus and said, we want to go to that church. So let's keep praying for our ministry and outreach to our veterans. Leviticus chapter 10 is where we are this tonight. Leviticus chapter 10 is where we are of some interesting... we're doing a survey of the Old Testament books of the Bible. We did Genesis about a month ago, then Exodus last week. Leviticus is tonight. So we're looking at Leviticus 10, the third book in the Old Testament, of a few glimpses tonight of some principles that we can use in our own Christian life. God's Word does not change, and the stories and narratives of the Bible teach us things. And so they're there for our admonition that we should learn from them, whether good or bad. You know, if it's a guy who didn't live for God, you know, then we should learn not to do that. If it's somebody who did live for God, then we should do that and emulate what they are doing. Okay, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to look into your Word. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. That you'd apply these truths, Lord, to us, that we might put them on this week and have your blessings in our life. We pray you'd be with those who are not able to make it, Lord. Give them your healing touch. We think of Abby and Holly, or Abby, Elizabeth, and Faith. We pray you just help heal them as they come back out with us. And I pray for any others who are sick, Lord, that you just put your healing hands upon them, that they may be back soon. And I pray for Brother Roy tonight, that you heal him as well. And in Jesus' name, and fill me with thy Spirit, and help each one of us to be obedient hearers of your word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus 10, verse 1, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Right. So what do we see here from this passage? Nadab and Abihu, remember how many remember our last week's study of Exodus? What did Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, which was Aaron's two eldest sons, and all the 70 elders of Israel, what did they get to see last week? Yes, Tricia. The sapphire footstool of God. And they got to eat and drink with God in His presence.
And did they die afterward because they were in God's presence? They saw him. They died, right? No, they didn't die. God specially preserved them, but they only literally got to see what was under his feet. Okay? Or else they would have died if they got to see God the Father in all his radiance. They would have been dead. And so even Moses up on the mount only got to see the back part of God. He didn't get to see his face or anything, or else he would have been dead. And even though he was just the back of God, what was Moses' face like when he came down?
Glowing.
Shone, so glowing that people had to said, "Moses, cover your face, put a veil on your face, we can't look at you." He said, "Wow, that's just the back of God." And so we have no idea the glory of God until we get to heaven and see him in his glory. He is so radiant that literally there's no need for the sun in heaven because he is so bright. Can you imagine that? It's hard for us. And so here we see Nadab and Abihu. They got the privilege of going into God's presence just a little bit earlier. And now here they are. They knew that they should wait for their father Aaron to offer the incense. They were to attend their father Aaron at the incense altar, and they were only to get fire from the brazen altar to take over, and their dad would get the fire from the brazen altar to take over to the incense altar to then burn the incense at the appropriate time. But here, what do? They took each of them his censer, or that's like a little instrument that holds, how many have ever seen like a candle snuffer? Like a metal or a match or a little clicker that you strike, and that it causes a little spark and a fire inside a little, what do they call that instrument, Mr. Hodge? Yeah, it's like that type of instrument where it's on a piece of metal rod, which has on its end a little basin where they put some incense, and then they put. Yes, Armani, what were you going to say? No, it's just a handheld little sensor. And it's a little rod with a little basin. They put the little granules of the crystals of the incense right on there. And then they take it and they light it from the brazen altar. Well, here, these guys said, "Well, you know, we are Aaron's sons. We are the priests of the Lord, so let's go ahead and light it up. We're going to light the altar of incense right now." They didn't wait for the right time. They didn't take the fire from the right place. They didn't wait for the person who was supposed to do it, and they were supposed to follow him, which was their dad, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And all of a sudden, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. Fire comes down, devours them, immediately engulfs them in flames, and they die before the Lord. Verse 3, "Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." So we see point number one tonight is we must obey God's words exactly as stated. It's not up to us to change or modify God's commandments. You know, we have this idea because we aren't in the very presence of God. We think we're not in the presence of God. We think, well, we're here on earth. God's up in heaven. You know, that I can have a casual relationship with God. When the Bible says something, you know, I'll tweak it a little bit so it works for me, and then I'll obey. You know, well, that's a dangerous formula, as we have found out here. Nadab and Abihu thought that God was a little bit, you know, he didn't really mean what he said. And here we see that, as we've been looking at the theme of Genesis, Jacob
meeting the Lord of glory, meeting Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate form, a Christophany, as the angel of the Lord, and wrestling with him, he saw that Jesus is holy. And then last week we saw Nadab, Abihu, Aaron, and Moses, and the 70 elders of Israel, all there at the Mount, right at Mount Sinai, before they went up, before Moses went up, and they saw the God of glory in all his beauty, and all his majesty, and just the very place beneath his feet was glowing. And that's all they could see because they were prostrate before him. We need to elevate our view of God if we are going to live a victorious Christian life.
Right.
We need to live a victorious Christian life. We need to have that Christian life that God so wants of us, is the victorious, obedient Christian life. But it can only happen as we see God for who He is. He is the God of glory. He is the God of perfection and majesty. He's not just like you and I, you know, that we can talk to Him and, well, can you change the rules on this one? Okay, you know, we'll change. No, God's not like that. God has already set the rules. Why? Because He's perfect. And He knows exactly what needs to be done. He's already set the rules. We just have to abide by them. That's why He doesn't take it lightly in His churches. You know, oftentimes we think we can get to the place where we think of a church as just like any other organization. Well, it's just a business like any other organization. Well, let's tweak it a little bit. No, we dare not tweak it. We dare not do anything but what it says, how it says to run a church. Mm-hmm. And sadly, many churches are getting in trouble today because they're finding out that God is holy and He does not take lightly to the trifling of the church and bringing it down to man's opinions and man's compromises. And churches, many pastors are wondering, wow, what's wrong with this church? Yeah, we're getting people in the door, but so many things are going wrong. You know, why is no one wanting to get saved? Why are people just very much on the fringe? You know, they only come to one service. They don't want to serve. They just want to punch in, punch out. And that's it. Why? Well, because that's what you're teaching them when you only have one service a week and you do it five times in a row. And when you tell people, come as you are, come as you are. You can dress any way you want to come to church as if they are the ones who are now making the rules. You know? Wait, are we coming to worship God, or are we coming to worship that man's preferences or opinions? You know, and I think that is what they are seeing themselves as these pastors are seeing themselves as, well, as my church, so I can set the rules. But really, we see, if we look into the Bible, we see it's God's rules, and we must abide by His prescriptions in order to be blessed. And so here we see they disobeyed. They were killed, and the verse, then Aaron held his peace. Why? Because God says, the Lord said, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
Amen.
That if we expect to get close to God, if we expect to be in the leadership position in a local church, we must be sanctified. We must be set apart. We must be holy. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Well, because I find it in my own life. If I'm not sanctified, if I'm not set apart, guess what? I get in trouble with God. And you say, why? Because there's a special privilege of being in leadership in a local church. And so therefore, if anyone who leads people must be themselves in a proper position to lead others. We must be in a right relationship with God if we are going to teach others. And so Nadab and Abihu did the wrong thing. They were blasphemous against God. They said, we're going to do it our way. And they were killed. This isn't just a sin of omission. Oh, we didn't know. Or a sin of trespass. The trespass sin was if they didn't know the rules to begin with, and so they disobeyed them. Oh, we're sorry, Lord, we didn't honestly know. No. Then what they would have done is God wouldn't have burnt them with fire. Instead, He would have said to Aaron, take your sons and quick put sackcloth and ash on them and give a trespass offering for them. Why? That's what God's prescription was through if they sinned through ignorance. But here, this was no sin through ignorance. This was a willful disobedience and blaspheming of their position of worship before God. Verse 4, and Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his son, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, beware the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Here we see God told Moses to tell the uncle of Aaron to take their family members out of the camp, and they said, don't mourn in public. Why were they not allowed to mourn them immediately in public and bewail them? Why were they not allowed to do this? Yes. They were fellow priests or Levites. If they're in the house of Aaron, they're either a priest or a Levite. And they dare not mourn for these two because they had willfully sinned against God and trespassed. And so therefore, they were under judgment of God. Okay? And so they couldn't publicly mourn in that time period, right away. Now, later on in the day, God did make provision for them to mourn privately, but it was not a public thing. They were only to mourn their death in the family, but not to mourn their position because of their rebellion. And so we see that God has a prescription. Number two, we bear, if you are a child of God and if you've been saved for any length of time, we bear Christ's name to new and weaker Christians. So we must have a testimony. We bear the name of Christ to newer Christians, weaker Christians, Christians that haven't had as much time to grow as we have. And so we need to use our position of maturity rightly. We need to back up the Word of God. We need to say, hey, thus saith the Lord. You know, just again, these popular evangelical preachers on TV that have these fast-growing big churches, they get themselves in trouble all the time. Why? Because their theology is off. Something has to be off if you're fast-growing through TV. Something's got to be off. Well, Andy Stanley, who's the pastor of one of the churches in the suburbs of in Atlanta, and he's got a couple other, he said, pastors shouldn't say, this is what the Bible says anymore. You know, we shouldn't place such an emphasis on the Bible. Instead, we should place an emphasis on the resurrection of Christ and these things. And immediately, all these Christians said, what is going on with this guy? Last year he tells us, you know, the Old Testament is not as important as the New Testament. This year he's telling us this, you know. So I think people are waking up to the fact, these pastors, what do they want? They just want to, they want to build a kingdom for themselves. And meanwhile, God's words become less important. He's telling us that the Bible is not as important as other things. And Jesus, God said, I have magnified my word above all my name. Lest we forget, Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle shall pass till all be fulfilled.
Right.
Jesus held the scriptures in the very highest of regard. He said, I am the Word. He said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? And so anyone who's trying to put down the Word of God and put up something else, it's a smokescreen. What they're trying to do is they're trying to compromise in the ministry, and they're gonna do a bait and switch with you. And sure enough, he said some other things. He's now allowed homosexuals to be part of the membership and to serve in the church. And then when people called him on it, then he says, because you haven't been faithful to your spouse, which was of the same gender, now that's why you're not allowed to serve. So, which is totally wrong to begin with. If they're in any type of homosexual or lesbian sin, they're not qualified to be members of any church until they repent and get right with God and do the first works. But here, this Andy Stanley is letting them. Same thing with Hillsong Church. If you ever see Hillsong music, stay away from it. Hillsong Church, which puts out in Australia, which puts out Hillsong music, and they've got a couple churches here in the U.S., and they've got churches all over the world. Stay away from them. They're dangerous. Some of their worship leaders are homosexuals. They're just trying to pull God down to man's level, and everyone's trying to be cool instead of lift up at the holy name of God and lift up the glory of God. And so we've got to be careful who we align with, what music we listen to, what what doctrine we listen to, because it will affect our view of God. We will not be able to live the victorious Christian life if we tolerate that loose teaching or that loose thinking or that loose music in our life. We will not be victorious. We will then be carnal. Carnal. Carnality. You say, what's carnal? Carnal means meat. Carne in Spanish is meat. Carne in Italian, same thing. Carne is meat. Okay? Well, what does it mean? If we're carnal, it means we're fleshly. We're not living for God, we're living fleshly. And the carnal life is at enmity with God. There is no blessing of God for the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian does not have God's blessings. In fact, God says in James 4:4, what know ye not, that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God.
Right.
The adulterers and adulteresses come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. So here we see point number 3, Aaron then had to teach. You say, why did Aaron teach this principle right after his sons are killed? The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Now this may have been the case with Nadab and Abihu, what would happen if one of the priests go in and they're a little bit drunk with wine, and they go in to offer a sacrifice before the holy God of Israel. They could be struck dead just like Nadab and Abihu if they do something wrong. And so just like it's not safe to drive and drink, well, it's not safe to do the priestly duties of God and drink. And so God said, don't let them drink at all, because it will mar their judgments. And just the same, we as Christians should not drink alcohol and get drunk. Why? It will mar our judgments. We will make bad decisions. We will become carnal Christians. We will do things that we shouldn't do. As it says in Proverbs 24, we will be like the man at the top of the mast of the ship. As the ship is rocking back and forth on the waves, we'll be clinging on to the top of the mast. And we're saying, whoa. Oh, I feel so awful. How many have ever seen a drunk person stagger down the street? How many have seen them fall? I've seen them fall. How many have seen them fall? They're staggering down the street. They've got the bag in their hand that has a bottle in it, and they're falling. Why? They can't control themselves. Why? Because the alcohol is taking over their body. And this is what God says, that we may put difference between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean. We need to be clean. Let's go over to, in closing, Leviticus 24. In closing tonight, Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Here we have the blessings of the victorious Christian life. This is what will happen to us if we obey the word of the Lord. This is what will happen to us if we set ourselves apart to God. Leviticus 26, verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Later on, through the different kings and the divided kingdom, they did those very things. And they wrought. They reap God's judgment. Verse 2, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field will yield their fruits. Here we see, if we obey God's commands, we'll get rain in due season. How many think this is rain in due season, what the United States has been hit with this past week? Anyone? No. It's too much rain. Why? Because you can't have a soaking rain and torrential rain and hurricane force rains and live. And so we see so much destruction. This is a symbol of God's chastening hand upon different places around the world. Now, it's not always the case, but when God's people aren't living for God, God will often afflict them with some kind of pestilence or storm of some type. At verse 4, the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. Here we see rain in due season, food coming to harvest. As we went around Northfield yesterday, talked with a gentleman. He and his wife were out in their front yard, and they were pulling up plants. I said, this is strange. Hi, how you doing? I'm Jeremy, and we're from Northfield Baptist. I'm just wondering what you're doing here. He said, we're pulling up the tomato plants. He said, look at the vines. I looked at the vines. They had tomatoes of different sizes. They were all green and had never ripened. Never ripened. I said, what's the problem? He said, too much rain. It's been too rainy all summer, and these have never come to ripening. These tomatoes, and he says that it's because of all this rain, and so we're seeing that it doesn't just affect down south in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. We're seeing other blights and other problems, and other parts of the United States are having too much rain, and it's causing the fruit to rot, and literally on the vine, and all the oranges, the apples, etc. Verse 6, and I will give peace in your land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. So here, if we are living for God, there will be peace. The animals or the evil beasts will not take over the place. Also, there will be no enemies to come and invade. This is what God is promising to Israel if they would just put Him first as they go into the promised land. Verse 7, "And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." Wow, can you imagine? Five guys chasing 100. And 100 chasing 10,000. 100 chasing 10,000. Wow, that's, if we do the math on that, what is the math on 100 to 10,000? This is 1/20. And 100 to 10,000 is, does anybody have the math there? 100 divided by 10,000 equals, is it 1,000? Does that sound right? 1,000. So this is 1/1,000. Just goes to show that God wants to bless us. So what's He trying to say here? Well, to Israel, He's saying, when you get into the promised land, if you live for Me and keep My commandments, I will bless you abundantly with food, with shelter, with protection from your enemies. And if they attack you, you will be able to chase them off and defeat them. Wow, what great promises that God gives to them. Verse 9, "For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish My covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set My tabernacle among you, and My soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be My people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen, when I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright." You say, how is this possible to live the victorious Christian life? It is possible, and God wants us to do it, but we need to get a vision for victory in our life. Your success in life depends on the victory that God wants you to have. Did you ever notice that the old lady smiling into the troubled face before her, that when the Lord told the discouraged fishermen to cast their nets again, it was right at the same old place where they had caught nothing? If we could only get off to some new place when we get discouraged, trying again would be an easier thing. If we could be somebody else, or go somewhere else, or do something else, it might not be so hard to have fresh faith and courage. But it is the same old net in the same old pond for most of us. The old temptations are to be overcome, the old faults to be conquered, the old trials and discouragements before which we failed yesterday to be faced again today. We must win success where we are, if we win it at all. And it is the Master Himself who, after all these toilful, disheartening failures, bids us try again. And sure enough, they put down the net on the other side, and what did they get? Fish. Their nets were full of fishes, in so much that they couldn't bring it into the boat. They had to take two boats, drag the net to shore, and sure enough, the net was so full of fishes that it was breaking.
Right.
That's how many fishes. Wow. I go fishing every now and again. Me and Paul and Lydia and Holly, we're into fishing. But yeah, that'd be nice, you know, put down a net, all the fish come.
Yeah.
That would be great. Well, that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to give us victories. Sure enough, the disciples, they got victories. After Jesus ascended back to heaven, they put to their lives, they put the principles that Jesus taught them about victory and about obedience to Him and living in His power and in His control. And sure enough, they preached and soul thousands upon thousands got saved.
Amen.
Everywhere they went, the 11 disciples went in all different directions, and everywhere they went, Thomas went to Africa, Thaddeus went to India, and Thomas went to India, and others, and they just scattered all over the known world like the hubs of a wheel, just going everywhere. And sure enough, they made so many converts that we are here today.
Amen.
Because they were faithful to the Word of God and to the work of God. So if they could do it, why can't we do it? And if others in the Bible could be victorious, why can't we be victorious? We can be. But it takes diligent effort. It takes reading God's Word daily. It takes praying through the day and saying, Lord, I don't want to fall prey to temptation. I don't want sin to get a foothold in my life. I want to live for You. Why? Because we will get blessed if we live for God. Now, it may not happen to the United States as a whole. We may have problems and blight and droughts. But you individually and I individually can be individually blessed. And our church can be individually blessed even if the surrounding region is in a blight. Why? Because we are living the victorious Christian life. See, God, His eyes are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those that love Him and are obeying His Word.
Amen.
See, He's looking for people. It only takes one person. He's looking for one person to obey His Word so He can just pour out His blessings upon their life. And their finances can be good so that they can take care of their family. And they're soul winners. They're leading other people to Christ. The church is then being blessed because of their soul winning. They're proficient teachers, etc., etc. Why? Because they're obeying the commands of God. That's what we need in life more than anything else. We don't need carnality. There's too many churches that are full of carnality. We need the victorious Christian life of obedience.
Amen.
For God. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night, to look into Your Word this evening, to be reminded of these important truths, that the carnal way is the way of death, as Nadab and Abihu found out. But the victorious, obedient Christian life is the way of life and blessing and happiness and joy. Lord, we pray that You might help our church to be individually blessed and collectively blessed as we obey the precepts of Your Word this week. Lord, help us to read Your Word each morning and each night this week. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to pray to You throughout the day. Help us to tell others about Jesus. Help us to give to You. Help us to be faithful in our Christian life that others may see and come to know You as Savior. Lord, that our church may grow. Lord, help us, we pray. We so need Your help. We thank You that You are the God of glory and that you are so holy and so perfect, yet You have designed a way for us to be obedient vessels for You and sanctified in Your sight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn to our hymn book tonight as we close this service. Three fifteen. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. And if you need to come for any reason, would you come tonight? Maybe you say, you know, Pastor, I don't want the carnal Christian life. I want the victorious, obedient Christian life. I want God's blessing upon me. Would you come and kneel at the altar? Or maybe you want counsel from the Word of God. Would you come and take me by a hand? Hey, Pastor, I want some counsel. We'll have someone, one of our church members, take you to a private room where they can counsel you from the Word of God. Let us sing this song, and if you didn't come for any reason, would you come tonight? 3:15.
Thank you.
pray for those on the prayer list who need our prayers. Emma Hunger Bueller, Penny, and John, and Roy, and the Rice family, those who are sick, and Abby, she goes tomorrow. Any others? Yeah.
Pastor, may I just say that anybody is welcome to come visit Roy.
Okay.
And what you said earlier, it doesn't, yes, it was two older people today, but it can be any age. Zamora was over at the house one day, and she spent a couple hours playing games and talking with him, and did a great job of being with him while Brian was helping me. So it doesn't matter the age, and anybody's welcome to just call first to make sure that we're there.
Okay, wonderful. Any others? Esther, what were you going to say?
Patty, we'll be sitting on that today.
Patty, yes. She's still not feeling well. So we'll keep Patty in prayer. Evan?
My dad has an appointment tomorrow.
Good. Great suggestion. All right. Let us close in prayer at this time. Brother Bob, you have the list there. The many names.
Nick, I have to ask you to come in. And
okay, I'll cover whatever you don't cover.
Please.
Okay.
Father God, Lord, thank you once again for an additional witness of your word. And we thank you in the early pages of your word that you spell out for us the different firmaments or the separations between things. Lord, that we just happen to survey tonight is probably the greatest firmament of all, the difference between you and your ways and us and our ways. We just thank you, Lord, that you have chosen that we might try to elevate ourselves in areas in your level, but we don't have the authority to try to drag you down to our level. We just ask, Lord, that you would keep that separation in place, because that is the very definition of holiness right there.
Right.
We just ask that you would continue to guide and direct us, and that you would cause this work to go forward in a mighty way for you in these closing times, because it is really needed. We just thank you so much for the ability to be able to be part of this work and to be used of you in whatever capacity you have for each of us. Pray this evening for those that are weak or laid aside or in need of a touch from you. We think of the continuing battle that Roy has, and just ask, Lord, that you would give him strength and that you would give him grace, and that your grace would in fact be sufficient for any challenge that he might meet. Just pray that you be with the Rice family. Now it seems like it's almost a cast of who's sick and who's not. But we just thank you, Lord, that you have given the ability for us to get better in our bodies or to be manipulated in such a way that we can get better through the gift of doctors if you choose to use them. And because that you would cause them to be raised up and back to health, that they might be back here in this assembly praising and worshiping you. And we just thank you so much, and we ask that you would give a special ear to these ones that the pastor has for you, to give them a special touch. We just ask these things this night in Christ's name.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we also pray for Penny tonight. Just put your healing hands upon her.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, just the doctors would know exactly how to treat her. And you just help heal her on even without the care of the doctors, Lord, that you would just heal her body and bring her back out to church. We'll miss her. Think also of Penny Hunger Bueller, that you just raise her up out of the nursing home and help in the rehab center, help her to get back to full health. She might come out to church with John, and I pray you just help them find the right place to live. So we pray you just as well be with Abby, Lord, just heal her and help her blood to be elevated from 9, that it would be higher than 9, so that she will not need another blood transfusion at some point, Lord, that you just help the bone marrow to produce the red blood cells to be able to produce that in her body, Lord. And we pray for anyone else. Thank you for Chris being here tonight. Thank you for the others that are here, Lord. We pray you bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's going to be a late charge.
Thank you.